Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day you've given us to stand in your presence in the midst of this weather and whatever be the situations we go through, Lord. But we thank you because you helped us to come this morning to give you the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Because our hope is in you, O Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Strengthen, speak the word, O God. Say the word, O God, and we shall be healed this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Strengthen me, Lord God. Hide me under your cross. Cleanse me with your precious blood, O God. Strengthen me in the name of your Son. Once again, we commit everyone in your midst, O Lord. Open their hearts this morning to hear your word, O Lord. We come against every works of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We'll humble ourselves once again, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I greetings to you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank Pastor for this opportunity he's given me. So today's message title is Hope in Christ. All right? Hope in Christ. So the key verse is taken from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. Can someone read that? The hope of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. What is hope? Hope is a desire with anticipation. You cherish a desire in your heart with anticipation that it will happen. You want something to happen in your life. That is hope, right? Hope is an expectation of positive outcome, right? Nobody hopes for the worst, hopes for the best, right? People with positive expectations are optimistic and cheerful about their future. The opposite of that is pessimistic, right? You say, whatever, I will fail anytime. Whatever I study, I will fail. That is pessimistic. No hope for the future. The earth is going to end anytime, so why should I work hard, right? So that is not what hope is. Hope is an expectation of positive outcome, right? Children hope that they do not have homework. Is it a positive outcome? They expect no school. They expect snow day every day. They expect more PA days, right? They expect more holidays, vacation days. But parents are hoping for the opposite, right? College students hope to get a job without studying, right? And parents are hoping the same, so that they don't have to spend the money, right? Homeowners are hoping for their mortgage to be paid off early, right? Right? They say, well, half my paycheck is going in mortgage, right? That's what everybody says who owns a home. Employees hope their salary increase, bonus increase every year, that even if you perform or not, right? That is our hope. But that is not hope, is right? Change the slide. Hope is not Hakuna Matata. What is Hakuna Matata? How many of you know that? No worries, right? It's a cartoon from The Lion King, right? There's a song called Hakuna Matata. It means no worries all the rest of your days. It's problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. I know the song. I saw that movie. It came very early in the 90s, right? So the song Hakuna Matata means no worries. Why? But is that hope? Hope is no worries. But hope can be delayed, may not happen in our lives. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So hope, every one of us who is sitting here have a hope in your heart, right, this day. A hope, but if there's a hope that is delayed, you applied for a job, you're waiting for a long time, they say they will call you, they will tell you the joining day, but they never call you, right? So hope deferred makes the heart sick. But the day when they call you, all you forget about all those waiting. It becomes a joy in your heart. As we read in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28, there are two types of hopes. There's a godly hope, there's a worldly hope. Can you change the slide? The worldly hopes are driven by Satan. Who is in control of the world? Satan. The people of this world hope to save the world with less pollutants, right? No fossil fuels, plant more trees, use electric cars. People of this world hope science will answer all life's problems, life's questions. People of this world hope socialism will solve all societal problems. People of this world hope to control their future. People of the world hope they look younger. People of this world hope they live longer. People of this world hope modern medicine will find cures to all diseases. People of this world hope donating to charities will eradicate poverty. People of this world hope music can help unite people. People of this world hope technology will make our lives easier. Life is good, LG. But that is not what our Lord Jesus preached. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the people who came to see him, they expected him to be born in a palace, but he was born in a manger. When Jesus started his ministry in the Galilee, city of Nazareth, people didn't expect a Messiah coming from the Galilee of the Gentiles. So Jesus, when he was born, when he started preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Philip went to Nathanael and said, I believe I found the Messiah. And he said, he's from Galilee. And Nathanael says, is there anything good comes from Galilee, from Nazareth? Right? So people of this world were not looking for him. But praise be to God, God found us. Hallelujah. We were not looking for him, but he chose us. His message of hope is written in John 18:36. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. When Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, are you a king? And Jesus replied, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. So this kingdom of God is what Jesus preached. You can turn the next slide. Jesus preached the kingdom of God in parables. He said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed in the world, among all plants, but when it grows, it becomes the largest. He said kingdom of God is like an yeast. When you put it on a dough, on a bread, it makes it become, you know, as a normal good bread. Kingdom of heaven is like a pearl. A merchant finds it and he sells all he had and went for the precious pearl. Hallelujah. So this kingdom of God was Jesus was preaching to all the people, and disciples followed them. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Apostle Paul writes, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus was preaching about a kingdom that is not of this world, a kingdom that is yet to come. Hallelujah. It's not established yet. He gave a hope to people who listened to his message. The people who listened to his message were not rich people. They were not affluent people. The greatest genius didn't listen to his message, but the poorest of the poor listened to his message. And poor of the people listened to the message of hope. What hope did this kingdom give that the world didn't give? Hope number one, Romans chapter 8, verse 22 to 25. Somebody read. Romans chapter 8, 22 to 25. Amen. We hope for the day of the Lord to come. Hallelujah. We hope the day when our bodies, our mortal bodies, will be transformed in the image of God. We are hoping for the day when we get the full rights as the children of God. In this world, we don't have the full rights. As a child of God, we are foreigners and strangers in this land. For we know that all creation is longing. The whole earth is longing for the return of the sons of God. Hallelujah. So God has given us his Holy Spirit this day as a foretaste of that glory. Every day you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, you have a taste of what is going to come. That is why God gave us his Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you, he gives you the hope of the future that is going to come. The future glory. The glory that will help us to be completely free from the sin and the suffering of this world. That is the hope that God gave us, that Jesus spoke about. The kingdom of heaven is a place where we are free from sin, are free from suffering. Hallelujah. If we don't have this hope, we don't need it. Right? We will be focusing on the hope of this world. Hallelujah. Children of God, those who are born of the Spirit, always think about this hope in their daily lives. Hope number two, 1 John chapter 3, 2 to 3. Amen. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We have no idea what will happen on the day when Jesus comes. We have no idea how we will be transformed, but we put our faith in Christ. That is faith. But we know that when he is revealed, when the Son of Man returns, we shall be like him. And for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. This is a hope we have. That we shall be like him when he returns. Hallelujah. We sang this morning the song, "Open the eyes of the heart, Lord. I want to see you." This is a longing of every believer. That I want to see him face to face. Hallelujah. What a glorious day it is. So until the hope, return of our king, until the establishment of the new kingdom, what is our responsibility? Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14 says, can somebody read? Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. This is our expectation. This is our mandate as long as we live in this earth. We have to live soberly. We have to live righteously. We have to live godly, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. With this hope in our heart, every day we have to live a righteous life. That is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. This is what the true message of hope. Godly hope helps us, gives us confidence to live in faith and love. If you don't have hope in Christ, if you don't have this hope, what will happen is you cannot live a life of faith and love. If you don't have godly hope, what will happen is you won't be motivated. You will be depressed. Godly hope motivates us to deny our fleshy desires and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you have hope in Christ, you deny yourself daily. And you say, "Let the Holy Spirit take over me, Lord." If you have godly hope, it helps you to obey God's commandments. It won't become difficult. Hallelujah. You will rely on God and say, "Lord, help me. Not by my strength, but by your strength, help me to obey your commandments." If you have godly hope, it's easier to carry the cross and follow Christ. You will have sufferings. You will have trials. You will have tests in your life. But Jesus will make it lighter for you. Hallelujah. It'll be easy to carry that cross and follow Christ when we have hope in Christ. Hallelujah. In conclusion, I want to try to illustrate this whole message using the parable of the blind man, the rich man, and the Lazarus. In Luke chapter 16, we see a story of the rich man and Lazarus. Both these men were children of Abraham. The rich man was a children of Abraham, was a child of Abraham. Lazarus was a child of Abraham. Rich man lived splendidly. He lived luxuriously. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. But at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. So you see two people in this parable, a man who is a rich man, a child of Abraham, a God who has received the message of the gospel. So this story is a representation of born-again Christians who have received the gospel, who have received the hope in Christ, but they live totally two different lives. One is focused on worldly pleasures. The other one has lost all his worldly desires and is living as a homeless, as a man who is waiting for the return of the Lord. So this is a spiritual condition we are talking about, not real physical condition. This is a spiritual condition that Jesus is speaking about. The poor man, one day, finally the poor man died one day. And what happened is the angels came and carried him to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of death. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance and Lazarus at his side. So the rich man cried and he saw this, what happened to Lazarus. Interestingly, the rich man who saw this when he was living in the earth, he knew the name of Lazarus. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said Lazarus. That means he saw this man lying there every day and he didn't bother to help him. He was his own belief, a child of Abraham, his co-brother in Christ. He didn't bother about him. And the rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." What did Abraham say to him? "Son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he's being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here and no one can cross over to us from there." So from this story, you understand that what you do on this earth, hallelujah, is temporary. Hallelujah. There is an eternal life that is waits for each of you. Either eternal life in heaven or eternal life in hell. And Abraham, the rich man, knew about the loss of Moses. He knew everything that the Bible said, but still he chose to live a worldly life. But Lazarus was a man who didn't have nothing. He didn't receive anything from this world. He was hungry and thirsty every day. He didn't do anything other than waiting for the return of the Lord, and one for his death. And when he died, the angels came and lifted him up and gave him comfort in heaven. What do we learn from this parable? Lazarus never received anything good from the world. He did not receive any pleasures or luxury from this world. He lived a life of hopelessness, sickness, poverty, and died in hunger in the eyes of the world. In the eyes of the world, he was not blessed. Lazarus was not blessed in the eyes of the world. Hallelujah. But when he died, he received a grand welcome. He received comfort, goodness, and peace and joy in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, the life of Lazarus is an illustration of a child of God living in this world. He is deprived of all worldly pleasures. His flesh is denied of sinful desires. But when he dies, he enters the kingdom of God and it is comforted. Jesus preached about this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Those who are poor in the spirit, Hallelujah. They realized the need for him. And God, Jesus said, for them, the kingdom of God is prepared. Hallelujah. God blesses those who are mourning, for they will be comforted. If you are mourning this day, and you in the world, you might think that I don't have anything, and you are crying about it. But Jesus is saying, you are blessed because you will be comforted in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. Hallelujah. If you are humble in the sight of the people, if you are humble nobody cares about you like Lazarus, but Bible says you will inherit in the new kingdom the whole earth. Hallelujah. The new earth will be for you. Hallelujah. God blesses who are hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. In this world there is no justice. But as you long for the justice of Christ to come, Bible says you will be satisfied on the day of the return of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 God blesses those who are merciful, and they will be shown mercy. If you are showing mercy this day, but even in the midst of trouble, are you merciful to people? Bible says God will show mercy on you. Hallelujah. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. If your heart is pure this morning, if you are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, Bible says you will see God. Hallelujah. God blesses those who work for peace. Are you in the there'll be a lot of confusion and chaos and a lot of situation in the workplace, in the church, whatever be it. But in the midst of it, are you a person who works for peace? Bible says they are the children of God. Hallelujah. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're doing right, if you're living right, that's what we read. If you're living righteously, for you is the kingdom of heaven. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Hallelujah. Can we identify ourselves in this situation? Hallelujah. Are we like Lazarus? Hallelujah. Are we identifying ourselves with Lazarus? Are we identifying ourselves to the scenarios that Jesus just mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount? If we are not, we need to re-examine our life this morning. Hallelujah. We need to identify ourselves just like Lazarus. Unlike Lazarus, the rich man enjoyed all the worldly pleasures. He had position, he had status in the world, he had recognition and fame. When he died, he did not get welcomed in the kingdom of God. He was tormented forever. The rich man's life represents a child of God who knows the word of God but refuses to obey God's word. He refuses to deny his fleshly desires and indulges in sin without any guilty conscience. He grieves the Holy Spirit daily, and as a result of it, when he dies, he goes direct to a place of torment. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us put all our hope in Christ Jesus, the hope that Christ has given to us. It will help us to live a godly life daily. Let us live our life as Lazarus lived. Hallelujah. Let's not live for the pleasures of this world. Let us live our life as foreigners in this land, expecting for the return of our King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to end this with a song that most of you know. Hallelujah. A song that written by a blind woman named Fanny Crosby. She wrote this song, a very famous song called Blessed Assurance. Hallelujah. It's a song of expectation of the return of the King. Hallelujah. The assurance that comes with Christ Jesus alone. Hallelujah. The song says, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day. Whatever be a situation, she was a blind woman, wrote around 800 Christian hymns. Hallelujah. She lived a life of poverty. Hallelujah. Nobody knew her. Nobody recognized her. Hallelujah. But the songs that she wrote has stayed for the time, has stayed this whole hundreds of years, and we are singing this morning. Hallelujah. Because she lived with expectation of the return of the King. Hallelujah. Let us sing this morning. Hallelujah. With that hope in our heart, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long. May the Lord bless you with these words. Amen.